Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope your day was wonderful. I hope your dreams and expectations of yourself remain high. Nobody's too depressed. If you're not having the best time this holiday because of your health, I hope this show today serves as a source of enlightenment, as always. The concept, we're going to go a little deeper today into what I'll term as the wonderful world of menopause. And maybe it is wonderful for you because for three or four decades, you suffered from blood-curdling periods every month, that 4 to 5 to 6 to sometimes half the month, wretched in abdominal pain, so on and so forth. Or maybe it's just the hot flashes that you've never had that don't seem to go away, and it's been a year going on 2 years, and you're stuck in the middle of hot flashes that none of the known remedies have fixed. As always, I have answers, but as always, you have to look a little more deeply into the situation. Ladies, from this point on, I want you to think of yourself, well, think of yourself on many levels, but one dimension I want to add to your perception of you is that women are ruled by blood. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that when you go for your yearly physical, wherever that may be, that you are looked upon by your healthcare provider, that you look upon yourself as a mass of blood, that blood having many, many qualities to it. Qualities to blood, you. And we're going to hook this into menopause. In other medicines, in ancient medicines, women were defined by blood. The definition of health for a female was fundamentally about how she regulated her blood. So to cut to the chase, if you're 17, if your granddaughter is 17, if each month she's curdling in pain from some aberration of a menstrual cycle, and this has been going on since puberty, which may have been as early as 12 for different reasons today, there is something wrong. Well, you know there's something wrong with her cycle. I'm asking you to consider that there's something wrong with her health. And what's wrong with her health will affect her long after menopause begins. And that's how I'm asking you to see you. So this is not a show that you're exempt from if you're 80 years old and are no longer having your period. Nor is it a show that you're exempt from if you're 20 years old and you just had your first child. The concept here, as always, the deeper concept, is that you are measured by a bunch of indices, markers. And one marker here is the quality of your blood, which you see displayed each month during your cycle. Part of that cycle is when you bleed. Point is, if you're not bleeding, your cycle still occurs. Have you ever thought about that? Oh, you're done with those periods. No, you're not. The physiology that controlled your period when you were 16 is the physiology running your show when you're 60, and it's the same physiology you will die of at 80 or be handicapped by at 80. Your breast cancer, your Alzheimer's, your Parkinson's is your menstrual cycle. That's big. That's as big as Thanksgiving. That's as big as our founding fathers. Yeah, I heard a great biography. Well, it wasn't a biography. It was a historical synopsis on 870 AM, the Michael Medvin show the other week on Thanksgiving Day about our founding fathers, the pilgrims, and what they suffered in those first years. Unbelievable to lose half of your tribe of only 100, all indentured servants, few had the money to come across the Atlantic, and half died in the winter because they didn't know how to survive. I'm interested in the half that survived. I'll guarantee you, before they left on the Mayflower or what, I would have looked at their menstrual cycle and known who was strong and who was weak, who was going to get what. Blood defines the woman. That's big. Let's get a deeper sense of this now. Blood defines the woman. Well, ladies, you understand it, if you understand it at all, around two words, estrogen and progesterone. So let me start there, but it's so much bigger than that. Go to picture number one. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, as soon as you can, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Yes, if you're driving the car with a menstrually related headache, if you're driving the car with a concern about terrible osteoporosis, if you're going to join my bandwagon and stop this nonsense about that one herbal capsule that's going to fix your problem. This is just not right. It is not right to think that way. It's correct to use the herbs as part of your understanding and your overall approach. But this notion that it's important and that you take it and that these things happen 10% of the time if you're lucky. And if you're dismayed, if you're skeptical, if your loved ones are skeptical, if your medical doctors are skeptical, that's why. This is why, too. Nobody wants to learn. Learn about your cycles, ladies. Go to picture number one. And gentlemen, please. Don't mean to exclude you. Men are defined by sperm. Women lose blood, men lose sperm. How the male handles that process over his lifetime determines how much his bones ache and his skin sags at 60 or 70. To be sexually promiscuous, to release more sperm than the body can accommodate. Yes, you've reduced your version of you if ejaculation is a wonderful stress buster. That one kind of turns my stomach. And it's the prevalent myopia for men. That ejaculation is a great reducer of stress. If that's the mentality, you're going to get hurt. You're not going to understand really what an ejaculation is, what it's supposed to be, and what you're losing if you look at it as stress release. But this is a show about ladies. Picture number one. Take a look. Blow that one up a little bit. That's Control Plus, or you can do it with your fingers if you have certain types of applications. Look at that. Picture number one. The Venus week and the Minerva week. The progesterone, the blue line. The estrogen, the green line. The testosterone, the red line. What is this saying, ladies, and gentlemen, if in a 28-day cycle you follow your estrogen and how much your ovary is producing? Estrogen is produced in the ovaries. Only half true. Enough estrogen that's significant is produced in the adrenal cortex of the adrenals. Ladies, you're having issues with PMS. You're having issues with hot flashes. You're having issues with pregnancy. You're having issues with whatever you're having issues with. Look to the adrenals. While you're slapping on the estrogen and progesterone creams, why aren't you looking to the adrenals? To the adrenals you go. When was the last time your OBG said your hot flashes are not about getting more estrogen, they're about getting more sleep? They're about getting more B6. They're about getting more vitamin C. They're about getting more magnesium. They're about getting more health. Your issues with your osteoporosis, your issues with your PMS, your issues with your fertility, your issues with the horrors of menopause. You know, in a lot of countries, menopause is simply an uncelebrated day. One day you don't bleed, that's the end of it. You don't even mention it. You're passing into the other cycle. More people are going to listen to you about life as your hair turns increasingly gray. And the day you stop bleeding is the day more people want to know what life was like. Now there's a culture. That's a culture in coherence. Not giving birth control pills to 17-year-old girls to stop their periods because their periods hurt too much. Not having so many people incapable of getting pregnant today that endometriosis and cystic ovaries are the norm. These are all outcroppings of a culture not respecting that a woman is defined by the quality of her blood. That's big. Don't you love it? All right, look at that cycle there. At about day 12, day 13, day 14, you begin to ovulate. Now you ovulate, and that egg is in the uterus and capable of being fertilized for about 12 hours. A lot of people don't get that. Only 12 hours is that egg hanging out in there capable of being fertilized. So if it's only in there for 12 hours and capable of being fertilized only 12 hours, then what's the worry? Why don't we just pin down that 12 hours and let the ball ride? Why all the emphasis on birth control and how difficult it is? One reason. If that sperm goes up inside the vaginal canal, it can hang out in the cervix for up to 5 days before you ovulate. 5 days. That's 5 days of hiding, just waiting. That's what complicates the possibilities of an unwanted, or a surprise, I should say, pregnancy. Right? After it happens, it's not unwanted, theoretically. But about day 12, day 13, and you can, of course, know this if you take your temperature. Great book, Tony Wexler, Taking Control of Your Fertility. Tony Wexler, W-E-S-C-H-L-E-R, Taking Control of Your Fertility. I didn't put that on the website today. Young ladies, older ladies, old ladies should all be in touch with their cycle. Because then you can render hot flashes. You can send them back to where they came from. You can fix your fertility problems. You can make sure that you are not devoured and ravaged in your old age, older age, because you never learned to regulate your cycle. To regulate your cycle is to regulate your hormonal system. To regulate the neuroendocrine system is to understand much about your health. So really, the way you should exalt your period, the way you should exalt menopause, the way you should exalt getting rid of your hot flashes, is simply to understand that by doing that, you are using and controlling and exalting and making sacred one indice of feminine health that, if it reigns supreme, will yield great dividends. That's the way you have to look at it. Now, that red there is testosterone. We're going to talk about that in a second. But the green spiking at about day 11, day 12, day 13, that's your estrogen. Estrogen has a function. Progesterone, which we're going to take at a look at in a moment, has a function. Now, do this. Go to picture number three. Picture number three. And the concept in picture number three is that estrogen does one thing, progesterone does another. Those two hormones are supposed to work in balance to each other, along with the testosterone, along with the pregnenolone, along with the DHEA, along with the aldosterone, along with the cortisol, along with the adrenaline, along with all the release factors coming out of your hypothalamus and pituitary, and only God knows how deep that process runs in your body. Not your medical doctors, not me, not anybody. So feed your health. Oh, great. Feed your health. That doesn't help you, does it? You wanted that special herb, that special cream. You listen to your anti-aging doctor talk about that special blend of hormone that's going to extend in your life, and now science has its insights. This is a marginal, this is grossly sensational. It is a gross sensationalism to think that we can figure this out. If you figured anything out, if you really watched people get healthy, you'll know what I'm asking you to consider, and that is get healthy. Then get healthier, then get beyond that. And your body will balance your hormonal system. That's the concept. Now, estrogen and progesterone, they have different functions. They often are antagonistic to each other. Excess estrogen effects. Take a look at this. Stimulates fast multiplying cells in uterine lining. Estrogen thickens the uterine lining. Progesterone gives you a nourished uterine lining, meaning it allows the egg to stick. The fertilized egg sticks, implants, starts to grow the placenta if the progesterone is there. Lots of your pregnancy issues are around women whose estrogen is out of balance with their progesterone for reasons we'll get into, and they cannot produce enough of the chemical environment that allows the baby to stick to the wall. Then they make that drastic mistake of going in vitro. They start with the Clomid, then they get to the Pergonol, then they do the in vitro therapies. This is really, really costly. And again, bless you if you've had a child this way. But the bottom line is you have paid a tremendous price to go in and augment the reproductive system with that type of intensity will cost you. Know that. Know that in your common sense. Celebrate your birth, hopefully a healthy child. But understand, it will cost you, and get educated to do something about it. So this balance between estrogen and progesterone, this is so much the woman's health. But these things are so controlled by things much deeper than your progesterone creams and your birth control pills and a little bit of your estradiol creams that your doctor gives you. It's so much deeper than your red raspberry leaf, than your clove, than the isoflavones, than the various different phytoestrogens we put in the body to balance things supposedly. It doesn't really work this way. It helps. It's worth doing. But in the context of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the understanding. Now, all of these hormones, estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, adrenaline, understand they are steroidal based. A steroid is a chemical made out of cholesterol in the liver. And it is the liver's function to take the balance of these, take one head off the other, put an eyeball on the third, shift their shapes, spin them around in the blender we call the liver, and spit the hormone back out in a better balance, all 15,000 of them. So you cannot, ladies, get away from the problems of PMS to the problems of birthing children, to the problems of hemorrhaging out during menopause, to the problems of just going up in crushed smoke in terms of just losing so much bone mass into your 70s and 80s that you can't stand up anymore, and there's no muscle on your bone because there's no bone to hold your muscle. You can't reduce your hormonal concerns without really understanding it's all about the liver. What about the liver? Couple of things about the liver. First of all, go to picture number 10. Look at that. Now go to picture number 9. There's picture number 9. Now that's the liver connecting to the intestines through the portal vein. That's picture number 9. Fantastic picture. Blow that one up. By the way, those of you doing the coffee enemas, a wonderful procedure in case you've got these sorts of menstrual irregularities. If you get bile, not if you simply do them. Difference. If you get bile, when you do these coffee enemas. That bile, if you look at this picture, goes up through the large intestine, through those purple veins, goes into the portal vein and goes directly to the liver. That's why a coffee enema, however much caffeine is in there, is not like drinking a cup of coffee. There it is in the anatomy. But I showed you this picture because I want you to understand that this liver has a great, great mass of blood from the intestinal tract, large intestine including, filtering on into it. The liver is a blood reservoir. Now look at picture number 10. Picture number 10 is a sinusoid inside the liver. What is that? That is a pool of venous blood. You think blood drains into the heart? No. That's a misunderstanding. Yes, it drains into the heart. It drains into the liver. Let me ask you a question. When it gets to the heart, what do you think the heart does? It sucks it in and pumps it out. The heart's an ingenious mechanical pump. But what happens to all that blood that goes to the liver? You know what it does? It doesn't pump out. It sits there. It circulates out, but it sits there. The mass of blood going to the liver is significant. It's extremely significant. It's beyond extremely significant. And yet there's no pump. There's just no pump to pump it out, which means that blood sits there. The rate of flow of blood through the liver determines the rate of blood viscosity through the body. That's a big, big, big statement. We're back to blood viscosity. Check my show about a month ago on blood viscosity. The minute the liver is sluggish and the blood doesn't move through the liver, the thickness of the blood through the body will destroy the balance of your hormonal system. Now, you want solution? I just gave it to you. And it ain't the easy way. It's not you run down to your local health food store and get a hormonal cream. But that's where the action is. Now, moving the blood through the liver means you've got to move your body. It means you've got to get the bile flowing. Those are two things you may not be doing. When I say move your body, I mean move your body. I mean move it. I mean really move it. How much? Nobody knows for you. You have to figure it out. You want the cookbook answer? 4 times a week, 45 to 75 minutes. Now there, I just pulled that one out of the air. I could make another one up and act like I know. No one knows. You know. How do you know? You know when your period starts to regulate off the momentum you gain when you move your body. You know by the way your body feels. You know in the balance of trade when your body's moving fast enough, hard enough, sweating enough, and when it's not. And if you don't, get yourself some health care. Go find somebody to share that journey with you. Go find somebody to help you supervise your health. Pay somebody to help navigate you through an understanding of you. Don't pay somebody to give you something to take, whether it be pharmaceutical or herbal, and then everything's going to get better. That is not the way it works. It helps, but it will not get you what you wanted. So number one, you've got to move your body. Number two, you've got to see bile come out. If it's olive oil flushes, if it's big master flushes, if it's little ones, if it's coffee enemas, if it's whatever your homemade version of a liver gallbladder flush is, do lots of them until you see lots of yellow, green, stinky stuff come out of you and you say, I feel much better. There is no one out there with PMS. There is no one out there with infertility. There is no one out there with bad bleeding, imbalanced cycles, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, PMS that knocks you out 2 weeks out of four, that wouldn't benefit greatly from really moving their body and seeing bile come out 3-4 times a week on a regular basis and tons of it. This is fundamental. This is the science. This is how Indian culture, this is how ancient European culture, this is how Chinese culture, this is how these medicines that our Western naturopathy has drawn so heavily from would approach it. This is how you should approach it. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. We're selling nothing. I am asking you to listen and learn. That's different. Thickness of blood determined by are you moving your body? Bile flushing out to counter the effects of estrogen dominance. Now let's get to another concept. Estrogen dominance. What does estrogen dominance mean? It means that if you go back to picture number 3, it means that you are going to live ravaged by the effects of excess estrogen. Look at that. Picture number 3 causes breast stimulation. Ladies, those cysts. Increases body fat, depression, headaches, salt and fluid retention. Decreases thyroid. Increases blood clotting to the point where you don't get HRT if there's a history of stroke in the family. Decreases sex drive. Impairs blood sugar control. This list is 5 times longer. Estrogen dominance. It means you have a lot of excess estrogen receptors in your body. It means you in Long Beach, you in Torrance, you somewhere in the Southland where the air is putrid, Riverside on a smoggy day. We might say all of Southern California. Relative to what? Well, relative to where it's not like that. Relative to somewhere up in clean, green Canada, British Vancouver. We have lots of chemicals in the air that mimic estrogen. Don't go to the top. Click to view the full article on Dirty Dozen List of Endocrine Receptors. Disruptors. Go to that site. Just click the link. Go to the site. BPA. This polyphenol. BPA. There's number 1. All your dairy, all your plastics. Dioxin, atrazine, phthalates, perchlorates, fire retardants, lead, arsenic, mercury, the PFCs, the pesticides, the glycol ethers. This is a short list. Really, the question is, what isn't estrogen mimetic? In other words, that balance that we showed you, going back to picture number 1, that balance between estrogen and progesterone, that delicate balance allowing you perfect fertility, 3-day periods, no clotting, no PMS, menopause on the level of I just stopped bleeding. That balance is thrown off terribly by these chemicals that are just like estrogen. They're estrogen mimetic. And if you're an estrogen dominant female, it means you've got so much of that circulating around through your tissues that you are going to have living hell around what you perceive to be the female cycle. But in reality, whether it's the female cycle or not, you are headed for trouble. You will live with a great burden on your shoulder. Move the body, get the bile flowing, reduce the toxic estrogens. What toxic estrogens? I gave you 12. Your meats, so your chickens and your lambs and your beefs. That's right, grass-fed. Minimize it. The air purifiers, the water purifiers. And we do all these things, and then we feel comfortable as we trot on home happily to our place in Huntington Beach or Redondo Beach. Or worse than that, Long Beach or San Pedro. I know you don't want to hear it. 30 years into the house, who wants to hear this? I'm sorry, I got to tell you. What you're getting in the air is enough to annul all these steps. You are in a certain type of a race until you get really educated. How do you know? How do you know you're way ahead of the game? I told you already. If you're still bleeding, if you have periods, ladies, if you are of that age, and you want to know how it's going, get your period to 3 days. Make sure the bleeding is minimal. Make sure there's no PMS, there's no clots, there's no mood swings, there's no pain. Know the day you ovulate because you're in touch with yourself down there to the point where you can feel it. Ladies, if you're bleeding out during menopause and it is hormonal hell, understand this. You're already in trouble. You're way off. Ladies, if each month your period is a massive bunch of painful clots, that's not good. If you live in these areas and that's your cycle, that's not good. If you have cystic breasts, that's not good. Yes, I know. Your doctor said that the cysts in the breast do not have a relationship to breast cancer. That is nonsense. Cysts in the breast represent stagnance of blood. Cysts in the breast are not the only way you get breast cancer, but cysts in the breast will add to the condition. It will add to the likelihood. I don't care what nonsense they can play with in the statistics. Lumps in your breast that resolve to when you go off your coffee, when you get the gallbladder flowing, when you get to places where there's less garbage in the air, that we see those cysts resolve is a good thing if you have any interest in not seeing breast cancer. So don't buy that bunko about breast cysts and breast cancer have no relationship. Oh, you're just fine. Those marbles in your breast, just give up coffee and call it a day. This is nonsense. But back to the main point. And that main point is you can determine for yourself where you're at in terms of your estrogen progesterone balances, in terms of just how you're being ravaged by toxic hormone on the basis of your cycle. You can understand it on the basis of, do those cysts in your breast go away? How many women have told me I have no cysts in my breast, only to find out 10 minutes later that breast is loaded with cysts? They're just not marble size, so you miss them. Your palpatory skills, even on your own breasts, are poor. Now, down there, uterus and ovaries. There's a feeling down there when those tissues are vibrant. There's a feeling down there when those tissues have been put away. Putting away. When you put your ovaries and uterus, when you put your feminine away. When for the whole myriad of reasons, women get the shaft, or think they've gotten the shaft, whether they've gotten the shaft or not. When people feel abused, the ovaries and the uterus cringe. They change shape. The cervix moves. The plumbing down there, it starts contorting in ways that are not about your health. The tissues don't drain. I think most women understand what I'm talking about. You can remember a time when those tissues were vibrant, and you can remember a time when those tissues lost their vibrance for a variety of reasons, and we don't have to get into them in today's show. The point is, that's big. That counts. What do you do about that? Well, isn't that a long story? Coming to life down there where the hardware is what the feminine journey is about. And what I'm saying to you today is that what we call menopause and its elegance or its lack of elegance, what you call the monthly cycle, what you call the woman, is very related to how we surf this wave. Not to mention the structural part of it. You're not going to get around the structural part of it. Take a look at these pictures here. Take a look at picture. Let's go to picture number... Let's try 13. Go to picture number 13. That's a woman from the side. That's a woman from the side. It's called a sagittal view. If you're looking at the computer, on your right side is her belly button. On the left side is her rear end. So she's cut in half. Okay? Not through the cross section, through the side. I think you get that. Now, if you put your finger on the belly button and just go backwards, the first part of her you're going to get is the pubic bone. That's that white thing there towards the bottom. Then behind that's the bladder. Then behind that, but a little higher, is the uterus. Then behind that is the rectum. Then behind that is the sacrum and the buttocks. So we're looking at a woman's sagittal view from the side. And we just described it from right to left, from front to back, effectively. Look at how easy it is to crush the uterus. Does it look to you like there's a lot of room in there? Does it look to you like things could get stuck? Does it look to you like, I'm sorry, if you're constipated and you've got a pound or two floating around in your rectum, that it just might impact the uterus? You ever notice that your bowels and your period have an effect on each other? You ever notice that the uterus and the bladder have a relationship? The orifices are about, what, half an inch from each other? If not less? You ever notice that there's just no room in there? Well, you should, because there's not. Now, I want you to hold that thought. And then I want you to go to picture 11. Now, go to picture 12. Don't blow up picture 12. Just look at picture 12. You see that green there? That's the psoas muscle. Now look at picture 11. Yeah, you've heard this before. I think you still need to hear it again. The anterior displacement of the psoas muscle. Check my show on stretching out a few weeks ago. How the psoas comes forward. As that psoas comes forward, now cut back to picture 13. And understand, as your psoas anteriorly displaces, you're going to crush your uterus. You're going to crush your bladder. You're going to decrease the space in which these organs live. Now add to that decreased space thick blood, because you're not moving. Now add to that all the toxic xenoestrogens that are not coming out because the bile doesn't flow. Add to that all the toxic estrogens that you ingest because of dietary improprieties. Add to that all the toxic estrogens that are just in the air, in the water, in the soap, in the perfume, in the hair dyes, all of them. Add all those together, stuff them into your uterus, and you can see what's controlling you. That cycle that defines you is now been enslaved by just the simple number of factors I just stated. And we're going to come along with a little progesterone cream and fix all that. We're going to come along with a little red raspberry leaf and fix all that. We're going to come along with a little bit of biocompatible estrogen and fix all that. We're going to come along with these phytoestrogens, these plants, these soy-derived plants that fix all that. Well, we're going to make that attempt, but the truth is, it helps maybe. If you're locked into hot flashes, bad hot flashes, you can try all the phytoestrogens you want. You can try tamoxifen if you want. You can try flaxseed if you want. You can try ginseng if you want. I don't want to get into that. I hope it helps you. I really do. You can ask me for it. And I'll say, I hope it helps you. But I know deep down inside, it's just going to be a part of it. The bigger part is what this is about. A lot of people look for what to do. So what do I do? And they're always asking, what do I do? So just give me the data and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Until you say, attach more deeply within yourself to the divine process in the body. And this is where they fail consistently. If that's you, listen up. Because it may be you, because I know a lot of people like that. They want the two-cent explanation. They want the 2-cent solution, and they'll do it. And they'll pat themselves on the back because they've done it. When it doesn't work, they'll do somebody else's version. And when that doesn't work, they'll do somebody else's version. And over 2 years and 5 years and 10 years, they've done 100 versions. And now they give themselves a PhD in their own health. And when you meet them and you talk to them, they know everything. Because they've heard everybody's blurb. And a lot of times when you ask them to sit back, kick down, and listen deeply, this is exactly what they don't want to do. And ladies, I can't tell you how sincere I am about this. I can't tell you how you have been lied to and misled to think you're going to get there any other way. If that period from the time you're born to your first bleed, to your last bleed, to the day you pass, isn't about the divine exalted feminine, the way God made the plumbing, and how you should lavish yourself within the science to understand the divine process at work. If that's not the way you're looking at it, you will not get a 3-day period. Believe me, I know. I have coached women to 3-day periods with no PMS at all and seen lots retain their plumbing at menopause when they've been counseled simply because they're hemorrhaging out. To have their uteruses and, just for good measure, their ovaries taken out. I've seen people reverse that. I've seen people, but I've never seen people reverse it without exalting the process. So it's very simple, but it's deep. Are you one of those people who are not deep, but smart? You can memorize data. You're corporals and sergeants. You can take orders, do the right thing, repeat a process, and then look and see if it happens. That's exactly what I'm addressing here. It doesn't work. If you can look at these pictures, if you can get inside the process, well, then you can start to see the marvel of it, and then you become your own experiment. Ladies, your feminine plumbing is your experiment to which you listen to a little clover and a little soy and a little progesterone and a flush and a stretch and some more sleep and massage into those places and resolving relationship and reducing stress. And as you listen, you get your answers. Yeah, that really helped. No, that didn't make a difference. I guess it didn't make a difference because I don't really feel that's really what it's about for me. But that's what it is. You become your smorgasbord. You have to have time to do that. That is how you cure this. And if you can, then pay somebody to help you. But at least engage the process. All right, enough with the theology. Let's get hardcore here. PMS, menopause, hot flashes, estrogen, progesterone imbalances, blood stasis, toxic xenoestrogens that you've got to get out of your body. Now, the adrenal cortex has a role here. The adrenal cortex puts out estrogen. It puts out testosterone. It puts out other chemicals that can help balance you during menopause or not. When the adrenals are too tied up with your sympathetic dominant lifestyle, when the adrenal cortex is too tied up with the stresses of your life, who you? No, not you. You don't feel stress. But is that stress deep down inside and are you not listening to it? Who you? No, not you. You have a good marriage and 5 loving kids and have spent the last 40 years pumping it out for everybody except yourself and feel relatively balanced in your world. Haven't had a good night's sleep in 15 to 20 years. That's not you, because you're loved and happy. Yes, it is you. What you call adrenal exhaustion, adrenal fatigue, has to be paramount. It's number 5 on the list there. If you're with hot flashes and your adrenals are out, that's where you go. Well, who doesn't have stress? Well, this is the point. Who doesn't have hot flashes? Who doesn't have PMS? Who isn't bleeding out and hemorrhaging during menopause? And of course, when you do all these things, you lose too much blood. And when you lose too much blood, you lose too much bone. And when you lose too much bone, you age. So I know you're 70. And if you're 70, this isn't a show for you, of course, because you don't get your period anymore. You don't have hot flashes. Ladies, that cycle you had at 60, that cycle you had at 50. What dysregulated it then is dysregulating it now. It's only hitting you in a different way. Ladies, whether you had blood stasis or blood deficiency, whether you barely had a period or bled to death each month, whether you barely had a period or were anemic all the time, whether you were neither, you were so clotted you were in pain, whether you were never clotted but your breast seized up in a clot every time, called a cyst, in relationship to your cycle. Well, whether you were blood stasis, blood deficiency, whether you just had blood that dropped, whether you prolapsed because there was no tone in the muscular system to hold the blood. The uterus will hold blood based upon the fascial tone of the fascia around the uterus, connected to the bladder, connected to the posterior abdominal wall, connected to the intestines, so on and so forth. The uterus and ovary are held in a sling. They're held in space by the fascial web. And if the fascial web has tone, you bleed less. So whether it's too much blood, or very thick blood, or not enough blood, when you're 70 years old, you're still suffering from blood that's too thick, not enough blood, or too much blood, even though you're not bleeding. If you can wrap your head around that, you got it. You own it. That's a concept. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is straighttalk.cc. Get on the web, straighttalk.cc. Ladies, learn more about you and what to really attach to. You can get the herbal combinations anywhere. I'm not going to bother with it. This has never been a show about what herb should you take for the symptom. I'm giving you the concepts so you can apply the herbal combinations and make it work. See, everybody wins. Everybody wins then. Okay, the people into herbs win, you win. And I have the pleasure of thinking that maybe somebody out there, on top of who I see before me, are really changing the course of your health by understanding that you have to do these things to regulate your blood. Look at picture number 15. Just take a look at that. Blow that up a little. Look at the femur on a normal spine, and look at the femur with a short psoas. Look at the low back. You see the way the slope in the low back changes? Just that tells the whole story. Ladies, if you undergo that slope because that psoas is displaced, how does your uterus and ovary even stand a chance? How? That's well beyond me. Okay, now, as you age, you have a concern about your bones. And just at the beginning of that aging process, you get the hot flashes, the PMS, you may be hemorrhaging out. Yeah, and I would address it hormonally. So you can try your estrogen. You can try your herbs. You can even go for some biocompatible estradiol. Hopefully that'll get you to second base. You can do all the other things I talked about. But your osteoporosis, as well as your hot flashes, here's another way to look at them. Again, a different way to look at you. The osteoporosis is telling you that the cycle is not regulated. What cycle? You're 75 years old. You see that cycle of estrogen, progesterone, and your cortisol, and your DHEA, and your pregnenolone, and all the things that control your health is still going to affect what? What as you stop bleeding? What indice can we utilize? What do you measure in a postmenopausal woman to determine whether or not that female cycle has regulated after she stops bleeding? Point being, before she stops bleeding, look to the quality of the blood. Point being, after she stops bleeding, what can you basically depend upon to tell you what's really going on? Not these blood tests. And I'm going to say something about the blood test in a moment, so please remind me. What can you depend upon? You got it. Her bone density. If your bone density is substandard, and again, that's subjective too, based on what norm is your bone density? If your posture's changing, granny, if you're starting to hunch, if that buffalo hump is getting worse, if you're arching, if you're kyphosing, if you're bending up at the shoulders, if you're looking older, significantly older, if the juice is starting to dry you out, if the ripe flower is starting to dry out, right, go for the facelift. No. Build bone mass. Because that cycle, that ever divine cycle of estrogen, progesterone, pregnenolone, DHEA, so on and so forth, is not regulating correctly. And it's drawing upon your bone. What you could once look upon as an issue of, am I bleeding too long? Do I clot too much? Am I not bleeding enough? Right. 2 to 3 days, no pain, no clots, no nothing. Menopause. You just stop bleeding one day, and that's it. Never back pain, never an irritable day. You feel your menstruation come on, barely, and you enjoy it. You enjoy your cycle. What do you replace as an indice for a woman's reproductive health, her feminine health? You replace it with the bone. If you're in bone loss, that cycle was off. It was off then, it's off now. You got to do something about it. Remember, that estrogen, progesterone, FSH, pregnenolone, DHEA, all those cycles that you can add to these graphs are still going on. And you can improve them, all of them. If you've got your plumbing there, you can improve it. No two ways about it. For most of us, this may never mean that at 75 years old, you look 21 again. I wouldn't rule that out. I truly wouldn't rule that out. But it will mean at 75 years old, you can get your girl back. And I've done this. I've seen this. I've seen this in 75-year-old women that come in dried out and torn and ravaged and close to something bad. And I've watched them come to life. I've watched their girl come back into their face, into their figures. I've seen that bone density increase. I've seen vibrance come back into them. And I think of it in terms of working through the reproductive system. I think in terms of changing the quality, the viscosity, the amount of their blood. This is not so difficult to understand. And many of my shows have backed up these claims by other systems of medicine. It's just so backdoorish or counterintuitive to apply it to your hot flashes. Fascinating stuff. Look at picture number 17. Blow that picture up just a little bit. Look at that. Look at the marvel of that uterus connected to the ovaries, connecting to the fallopian tubes. Look at that cross cut there, that carnal cut, we call it. As a woman ages, that uterine wall, the wall of the uterus, will thin out. Sometimes as it thins out, it bleeds out. It's supposed to bleed out. You may hemorrhage for a while. You may hemorrhage uncontrollably for a while as it bleeds out. Don't you ever dare cut your plumbing out because some dum-dum tells you you could bleed to death. Don't ever do that. Make relationship with ER in case you have a bad day, and talk to your medical doctor about the possibility and tell him you want a massive shot of progesterone before they dare take out that uterus. Never believe that. No self-respecting OBG, except in rare instances, would tell a woman to cut the uterus out because she could bleed to death during menopause. That is insane. And understand, if you take the uterus, the ovaries will shrivel. The ovaries take the same blood supply as the uterus, largely. And so you just about embargo blood to the ovaries once the uterus is taken. So this is not simple. And by God, don't ever listen to some well-meaning physician tell you, take the ovaries also because you've got breast cancer in your family and this will protect you against breast cancer. Don't ever do that. Look at that. The cysts in the ovaries, the endometriosis, the fibroids, are all occurring when the toxic estrogens are coming in. The liver is not taking them out. The blood is too thick, so it's not balancing hormone. And collectively, your body is left to the imbalance of excess estrogen, which grows things. Estrogen inflames things. Estrogen grows things. The inflammation and the anabolism, the growth in the tissue, is supposed to be counted by the progesterone. That process is the process of health. I will leave you with that. We'll see you next week. Have a nice day.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.